When you hear people describe Lake Superior, you often hear words like this.
Huge, blue.
It seems endless.
Such a large body of water.
There's no denying it. Lake Superior is big. But imagine, just for a second, that in a matter of years, it shrank to a fourth of its size. It's hard to picture, but that's exactly what happened to another great lake, or at least, it used to be a great lake.
It's a shadow of its former self. The Aral Sea has continued to decline, to shrink. And so it's now lost 75% of its surface area and 90% of its volume over the last 50 years.
That's Peter Annan. He's a journalist and author who used to cover the Great Lakes for Newsweek in Chicago. In 2004, after hearing about what happened to the Aral Sea, Peter traveled to Uzbekistan to visit the area. And what he saw there really shocked him.
We started out at an old fishing port called Munak, Uzbekistan. And that is a fishing port, again, was right on the edge of the original Aral Sea's shoreline. It took us 5 hours of driving on the bottom of the Aral Sea to get from the old water's edge to the new water's edge. So 5 hours of driving along the dried up bottom of a former Great Lake. It was really quite a, as a Great Lakes guy, it was really quite a chilling experience.
The reason the Aral Sea shrank is because the rivers and streams that fed it had been diverted to another place, the desert. In the 1950s and 60s, the Soviet Union hoped to promote farming in the nearby arid region by redirecting water there. In other words, they wanted to make the desert bloom.
And the desert did bloom, but at great cost to the Aral Sea's ecosystem. As it receded, the salinity levels in the Aral Sea have skyrocketed to the point where virtually all life is gone except for a few brine shrimp and a few other things.
It's highly unlikely that what happened to the Aral Sea will happen to Lake Superior. But the issue of diversions is not new to the North American Great Lakes. Back in the 90s, a company called the Nova Group in Ontario sent a proposal to the provincial government. The subject of the proposal? To allow them to ship hundreds of millions of gallons of water each year from Lake Superior to Asia using oil tankers. The public comment period for their application went by without much notice, and the province of Ontario granted the project an initial permit. Eventually, the media picked up the story, and when people found out, they weren't very happy. Dave Nafsker is the executive director of the Council of Great Lakes Governors.
It rang alarm bells around the region, people asking, how could this happen? And the protections that were in place at that time were incomplete and somewhat of a patchwork, and they did not provide strong protection against the potential threat of these kinds of diversions.
It was clear that something was needed to protect the Great Lakes from large-scale diversions like the NOVA proposal. So in 2001, the governors of the 8 states and the premiers of the 2 Canadian provinces bordering the Great Lakes got together and began to work on something called the Great Lakes Water Resources Compact.
And so, the compact is essentially a legal water fence designed to keep Great Lakes water inside the Great Lakes Basin with very limited exceptions.
In 2008, the compact became both state and federal law, with some flexibility built in for communities that don't quite fall into the Great Lakes Basin.
There are a number of communities that are near to the Basin Divide who have public water supply issues, contamination, other kinds of issues that required some degree of flexibility while ensuring that those long-distance, large-scale diversions would be prohibited in any case.
The compact went a long way in protecting Great Lakes water for generations to come. But the increasing strain on water resources around the globe ensures that water quantity, not just quality, will continue to be an issue into the future.
So we have a number of places around the world that are in serious declining water supply situations, and projections are for things to get even worse. There's a belief that the last century was the century of oil. This century is going to be the century of water. Oil was the defining natural resource from a public policy standpoint during the last century. and many people, including me, believe that it will be surpassed by water as the defining natural resource by the end of this century.
While it's horrifying to think about what happened to the Aral Sea and how it impacted the communities around it, it's a good reminder that as large as the Great Lakes are, they're not invulnerable.
You can't credibly stand on the shore of a North American Great Lake and argue that those Great Lakes are so large that they're invincible to the hand of man. Because the Aral Sea experiment has shown that human beings have the ability, in really a blink of an eye when you think of hydrogeologic history, to shrink and destroy the ecosystem of a great lake like the Aral Sea. As we enter this era of increasing global water insecurity, it's important for the citizens in the Great Lakes region to be very educated and very aware of water quantity issues in their own backyard, because if the citizens of the Great Lakes region don't stand up for and protect and support wise water management policies in their own ecosystem, who will?
For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. This project is funded in part by the Coastal Zone Management Act, by NOAA's Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, in cooperation with Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program. Music and sounds for this piece were produced by Peter Elvin. To learn more, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.